Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks. Yesterday we talked, Richard, about some words that Jesus gave to the Pharisees, some very strong words, were not very encouraging words. And I want to share those again, and then we're going to show the contrast of what Jesus offers in this gospel. So to the Pharisees, he said, "What sorrow also awaits you experts in religious law, for you crush people with unbearable religious demands, and you never lift a finger to ease the burden." So what were these teachers or these experts of religious law doing? They were giving a heavy bag of do's and don'ts to all the people that they were ministering to. They were just burdening them down with all kinds of pressures. And then they were never even extending a finger or a helping hand to help ease those burdens. And that's what so many people have received in teaching through the years. They've received just nothing but a list of do's and don'ts, nothing but a list of religious traditions and expectations that they have to fulfill. And as a result, they feel burdened down. As an example, Sarah wrote to us and said, "I listen to you guys daily. I'm always richly blessed. I thank God for using your ministry to set me free from many legalistic lies that had such a hold on me and were so burdensome for many years." So what we're talking about isn't just pie in the sky stuff. What teaching happens makes an impact.
Yes, it does.
If somebody gives a persuasive argument, somebody makes a case for this is what you need to do to be a Christian, and you have a sincere heart, you're going to follow what they say. Why? Because you want to be God's guy. You want to be a good Christian. You want to live up to what God expects of you. And so you set out with full sincerity of heart and full intention to do it, to be what God has called you to be. And soon it's just a heavy burden. It is so weighty, and it just oppresses and keeps you down. And you think, gosh, am I doing something wrong? Is this, you know, maybe I need to try harder. Maybe I need to do more. And that's the pattern. That's the pattern that we see out there in the world. Well, here's the contrast. What Jesus offers is so much different than a heavy burden. As a matter of fact, here's what he says. "Come to me." Now, Jesus is the only religious leader in all of human history that has said those words, "Come to me." Muhammad doesn't say that. Buddha didn't say that. Confucius didn't say that. Nobody has said, "Come unto me." Jesus is the only one that can say that, and people can listen to it and say, wow, that makes sense because of who he is. So he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." Boy, that's a lot of people in this world today, isn't it?
Yeah, sure is.
Oh, my goodness. You meet them every day. I was one of those guys, weary and burdened. You were one of those guys.
Sure was.
We've all been there. We know what that big sack feels like, weighing heavily on our shoulders. But to those who are weary and burdened, he says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." Oh, what sweet words those are. Man, we long for rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you want rest for your souls, if you want to experience peace, if you want to experience a yoke that is easy, go unto Jesus. Come unto him. Why? Because in him you'll find everything you need. He's already done the work. He's already carried the heavy load. He's already taken upon himself the sins of the world. He's already taken upon himself the wrath. He died. He stood in your place. He stood in my place to take our punishment. Now he's been raised to life so that we can walk in the newness of life. And what that newness of life looks like is a life of rest. It looks like a life of gentleness and humility, according to Jesus. Mm-hmm. So if you're burdened, if you're weighed down by crazy teaching of do's and don'ts and a list of rules and regulations to follow, would you let go and come unto Jesus? You'll find rest for your souls. Absolutely. In him. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. Plenty of open lines right now. 844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742. So if you have a question, you have a comment that you would like to make, we would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. We're going to quickly go to O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk briefly to our friend Brad. Hi, Brad.
Yeah, briefly, God bless. And I just wanted to say to the audience that, you know, our dear sister came to the Lord yesterday, Kathy, and there's been many, many more over the years and over the months of this year. And just to let people know that when they come to Christ, there's a whole group of people that have listened to this ministry for a long time who have experienced deliverance, like your first email, and that we pray for those same things to come from God, who's no respecter of persons, to lead and guide people who listen and come to Jesus, that they too can experience the same blessings that, you know, we are experiencing from understanding and knowing the truth. And that's what this gospel ministry is all about. And I just wanted to make that comment.
Well, thank you, Brad. We appreciate it. And yeah, that was a marvelous call yesterday. Yeah. With Kathy. And we were so grateful to be available to her at her time of need. There's so many people out there that feel disconnected. They feel empty inside, and they're longing for answers. They're looking for truth. And that gospel of Jesus Christ rings true when somebody hears it for what it is. And so many people don't hear it for what it is. Mm-hmm. They may hear a little bit about Jesus, but then in their minds, they're concocting all the things that they're supposed to be doing for God. And that's the big question on their minds. Okay, I know what Jesus did, but what am I supposed to do? And that's what hooks us into this burdensome way of life. But we really need to hear all about Jesus, the fact that he died to take away our sins, the fact that he was buried and raised so that we too could walk in that newness of life. And when we hear that, then we have hope. And that's what this gospel is all about, bringing hope to our hearts.
Now, one of the things that was so beautiful about yesterday is that, you know, if you were listening, you may have realized we didn't answer her question, because it was in the description of the problem and all of that, that it was fairly obvious that she had a fundamental issue in belief. It wasn't just what was going on around her. And until you solve the root of the issue, there's no point in dealing with everything else.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Joyce, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Joyce.
Praise the Lord, Pastor. God bless you all. I listen to you all every day, and I'm encouraged. And you know what I would like to know why I'm calling? You know, back in Genesis, the Bible says God created. And that word God in the English, they have it as Elohim. And then they have him being the self-existing one as Jehovah. So we are know God now by Jehovah Elohim, the self-existing strong one, and Elohim, our creator. But what I would really like to know, my pastor, when back in the time of Noah, before the flood, they said, then men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. What name were they calling him at that time?
Well, I think it would have been probably Yahweh, you know, which we've translated as Jehovah.
Yes. And if your version of the Bible, when it says begin to call on the name of the Lord, if Lord is using small caps, you know, O-R-D, big L.
No, it's using big cap, the name
okay,
of the Lord.
Okay, then that's the Yahweh word. That's how the English translates it.
And that was a word that Jews would never speak.
They would utter, no.
Yeah, they would not utter. And even, you know, when they write God, it's G-D. They don't put the O in there, just for out of respect and reverence and that sort of thing. And we know that name as the great I Am. That's who God is. He is the I Am, always present and with us.
Yes.
And that's the good news, isn't it?
Yes. I remember back in Moses' time when Moses said, "Who shall I say send me?" And he said, "To tell them I am that I am." But I say, but that wouldn't be the first name, because the people back in the before the flood, it say when men begin to call on the name of the Lord. So I was wondering, what name was that?
Well, I think would have been Yahweh, but I think,
yes.
You know, they were just seeking him, wanting to know him. And certainly God has revealed himself to us through his names.
Yes.
You know, we learn a lot about God just through the names that he used in the Old Testament. So we learn a lot about him just through his names. But Joyce, great question today. We appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you so much for clearing that up for me, because I know you had to have a name for the people to worship, you know, all like Noah believing in God and praying to God and obeying God. He had to be praying to him by some name. So, you know, it make me want to know what that name was.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting. I'll just close on this note that now we know the name Jesus. So
yes.
God has made himself known through the person and work of Jesus. And so it's through the face of Christ, or through Christ, that we can really see what God is all about. So we now have a very tangible name in the person of Jesus. Well, thank you, Joyce. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it. Well, let's go to Waco, Texas, and talk with Andrew, listening to us on KBBW. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, you guys. I'm a huge fan of your ministry. I appreciate what you do, preaching the good news of the gospel. And I got a question. Galatians 3:13 says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, so that the blessing of Abraham would come upon the Gentiles. And I wanted to relate that to Deuteronomy 28. The blessings are listed there. If you keep the law, you get blessed. And if you do not keep the law, you are under a curse. And so since we've been redeemed from the curse, my understanding is those curses in Deuteronomy 28 are no longer mine, because I've been redeemed through Christ. What is your perspective of that?
Well, two things, Andrew. First, the blessing of Abraham supersedes the law.
Yes.
So it's a blessing based on promise, not based on the works of the law or human effort.
Yes.
And that promise, that blessing, is really the gift of God's Spirit. But before we could receive the gift of God's Spirit, we had to be set free from the curse of the law of sin and death. So when Adam and Eve sinned, they brought death into this world, and death became our condition when we were born into this world. We came into it separated from the life of God. So that was our curse, that was our condemnation, that was our judgment. And then through faith in Jesus, we're set free from that, and we experience the blessing of Abraham. That's the gift of God's Spirit. Now, you know, we know 500 years, 400 something years after Abraham, God raised up Moses to deliver the people out of Egypt and take them into the promised land. And they had a temporary covenant called the Mosaic Covenant that was strictly between God and the people of Israel. And it was an if-then covenant, more of a contract. Here's you know, the terms and conditions that I will keep, and here's the terms and conditions that you need to keep. And if you don't keep those, then you will have curses that will befall you. and those blessings and curses, as you mentioned, were spelled out in the book of Deuteronomy. But those were for the people, the nation of Israel. And certainly they foreshadowed the ultimate curse that we were under, the law of sin and death, and the blessings that we would receive. But they were really more to the people of Israel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does that make sense, Andrew?
Yes, that makes sense. I keep thinking of Rahab and other Gentiles, maybe Caleb, that were taken in through faith in Christ, you know, through faith in Jehovah God. And so I'm just wondering.
Well, the people of God.
Is it applicable?
Yeah. The people of God, Andrew, have always been identified by faith, by their faith in God. Mm-hmm. So God's plan of by grace through faith has always been in play. There's never been a time that wasn't in play. So when the writer of Hebrews, for example, looks at all the Old Testament saints, he does so commending them for their faith. By faith, Noah did this. By faith, Enoch did this. By faith, Abraham did this. By faith, Moses did this. So they were always commended by their faith. And even the law was to point people to a trust in Christ. That's what Paul was talking about in Galatians. It was there to lead us to Christ so that by faith we could be justified in his name and could receive the promise of God's Spirit. So God's purpose for us always has been a life of faith and trust in Christ. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible is Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So what's the operative word there? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Well, that's what everything was pointing toward. And we get the ultimate benefit and the ultimate blessing that was given to Abraham because we actually received the gift of God's Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah, I'd like to piggyback on that just a tiny bit. Remember that this promise Bob was just talking about is the promise of the Messiah, who is Jesus, who is coming back. And so there's that line throughout the whole scripture about the promise. The promise went through the tribe of Judah. It did not go through the tribe of Levi, so therefore the Mosaic covenant could not be that promise. It was for something else. As great as it was, as beautiful as it was for something completely different, not the promise given to Abraham referring to Jesus.
I see. All right. Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for your call, Andrew. Wonderful question.
Yeah.
I love these theological questions like that. And the meta-narrative of the story of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a big thing. You know, a lot of times we just look at it in terms of Jesus saved me. And we narrow it down to that scope. But this is a big picture story, isn't it?
It's
God rescuing people from both Jew and Gentile, gathering to himself a people of God that will be a part of this kingdom of God that's going to rule and reign forever. And so we see different pieces of that unfolding, and the Mosaic Covenant was simply a little piece of this unfolding story. And it was there particularly to, I think, protect that bloodline.
Yes.
So that Messiah could come into the world and the world could be blessed through him. Well, Andrew, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. Well, let's go to the Bronx, New York, and talk to Shireen. Hi, Shireen.
Hi. God bless you guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You are so welcome.
Thank you. I was just calling because I was reading Genesis, and I know it said that Jacob wrestled. First it said, I think it said man, then it said an angel, and then some people say it was God. Well, it's two questions. Who exactly do you guys think he wrestled with, and why did he want to wrestle with God? Was it because he wanted a blessing from his brother Esau? He was scared Esau was going to kill him. Was it because, do you know why he wrestled with God?
Well, I think it's just part of, you know, his struggle. And I think that's what his name really is getting to. But I think it was just a part of bringing Jacob in line with what the story was going to be, the unfolding story of the people of Israel and what that was going to mean to the world. And we see that his hip was messed up in that encounter. I would think it probably was an angel or something like that. It wouldn't have been God himself. No one could see God face to face and survive that.
But that's what he said. He said, "I've seen God and live." I couldn't believe it when he said, "I've seen the face of God, and I'm alive." So I'm wondering, was it God that he actually wrestled with, or was it an angel? But I guess it doesn't really matter who he wrestled with. My main concern was it because he was afraid for his life from his brother trying to kill him, why he wanted God to bless him? Because right after that, he met up with his brother Esau, and it was just so much love and peace between the two brothers, and God did indeed bless him. So I was just wondering if that was what you think, why he was wrestling with God for a blessing, for peace between him and his brother, or it was some other problem he had?
Well, Shireen, as far as Jacob was concerned, he was chosen by God to be the bloodline for the Messiah. So Esau and Jacob were in the womb. Esau came out first. By culture, by convention, he would carry the birthright. So the promises and blessings of Isaac would go to him. But that wasn't God's choice. God chose Jacob. That's what he wanted. And so that was before he was even born. That was God's choice, that the bloodline was going to flow through
the promise Jacob. That we were just talking about went through Jacob.
Went through Jacob. And so I think all of Jacob's life, it was a part of conforming him to that plan. And it's interesting because that's what God does with us. He conforms us to the image of his son. That's what we've been predestined for, to be conformed to the image of Christ. And a lot of times, you know, our minds rebel at some things. We don't want to go through what we have to go through for that shaping and that transformation to take place. But God is not going to be thwarted. He is going to move us in that direction. He will conform us into the image of Christ Jesus. That's guaranteed. That's a promise. So I think it has, you know, a foreshadowing of how our relationship with the Lord works now. Jesus Christ living inside of us, renewing our minds, renewing our attitudes, you know, correcting things when things need to be corrected, so that we can experience a harvest of righteousness in our lives and be a blessing to this world. Well, Shireen, we certainly appreciate
Thank
your
you.
Call. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All
Thank
right.
you so much.
God bless.
Thank you. God bless.
I remembered
Bye-bye.
The word I was looking for, theophany.
Yes.
This is in the Old Testament a revealing of God, in the same way that Abraham met the three strangers and then had the conversation about Sodom and Gomorrah. So God showed himself in a limited way.
Yes.
And yet Jacob knew who he
exactly
was.
Exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, Richard. It's been a fun program.
Yes.
We love the questions, and I love these theological questions that really tap into the big picture of the gospel from beginning to end of the Bible. So thank you guys for asking those questions. Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry. We rely on gifts from our listeners to help continue the good news going out through the Basic Gospel program, through the radio airwaves, through our internet presence, through the various resources that we have available. And certainly here at the end of the year, we need your help. We still need about $300,000 between now and December 31st to reach our year-end goals. And we're asking you to be a part of that. If you could make a contribution today of $100, $500, or $1,000, go to basicgospel.net and follow all the information on the webpage. Well, we'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.